things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Wine.
Yo, 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 welcome to another episode of Woot and Why. Hopefully you've just listened to our most recent episode, March Badness. it was a goodie. Plenty of bad hot takes and audio grabs from the year. We also talked to Matt Logue from the Daily Telegraph about Jarryd Hayne and looked at free agency and all the player cuts and answered a few of your mailbag questions. Today's episode is an interview I did with Josh at Josh NFL Draft on Twitter. His name is Josh Buchanan. Make sure you give him a follow. Here's his story. He is an NFLPA bowl, small school, and East Coast scout consultant. He's a former high school bowl personnel. He's been producing the most accurate small school draft board since 2003. So I spoke to him about a few of the top players and his prospects and a few of the really, really hidden gems in the small school draft picks. But before we get to that interview, breaking news has just occurred. Jesse Williams, the Australian defensive tackle and national champion from Alabama, and we'll put it in inverted commas, Super Bowl champion. We've all seen that famous picture of him holding the trophy despite never playing a snap in the NFL. He's been released by the Seattle Seahawks. We knew it was coming. Woot and I both reported that we thought he would get cut this year. We thought he might have at least meant to training camp or some OTAs, but it's been done before that. Two knee injuries is tough to come back from, and look, he might get picked up somewhere else, but I'm a little bit skeptical. Those two knee injuries, and you know, as he's played as many snaps in the NFL as Jarryd Hayne, so you know, it's a risk. So if, you know, we'll wait and see on that one. But there's still, you know, still a lot of Aussies about Brad Wing and Tom Hornsey with the Dallas Cowboys. So he signed with the Dallas Cowboys, which is fantastic news. And so there's still a lot of Aussies in the NFL. So now let's get to my interview with at Josh NFL Draft. Say hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh. How's it going, man? appreciate you guys having me.
Great first name as well. We're all Josh's here, so it's pretty good. Why don't you tell us about your background, just for all our listeners that down under probably don't know a lot about you.
Yeah, they don't, because most people here don't. No, I when I was in college, I interned for All-Star Games. I had done a few. Some I got paid, some I did not. Did some operation stuff in the NFL for a little bit. I've run a high school All-America game for 3 years doing the player personnel side of it. In fact, I did it 4 years ago, did it three years ago, and did I did 2012, 2013, 2014. I didn't do it this year. In fact, there's probably going to be three or four players from my game drafted this year that I had, and they're all early entries because they're third year juniors. But anyway, had a few of those. So some of those guys in this draft, and then second year doing the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Which is the All-Star Game the NFLPA has been running. This coming year, I believe, will be its fifth year. And so this will upcoming year would be my third with them. So I've done it the last two drafts and been doing this. I think this is probably year 12 for me.
Wow, that's quite a list. How are you finding those NFLPA games? They're really good for those sort of small-name guys that don't get recognized enough.
Yeah, and we've had a few bigger name guys. We had, I think, 44 or so, or 41 or 44, somewhere in that range. That many guys make rosters from the game in 2014, a game last year, as rookies, which was pretty good. That was more than triple what they had the year before our staff took over. So we're hoping for 45, 50 guys this year to make it. You know, we ended up having one of our receivers was named the NFL preseason MVP this past year, the kid with the Giants. So, you know, we've had some pretty good ones already, and yeah, it has. I actually thought we probably had between 15 to 20 guys the last 2 years that our game might have put them on the map and gotten them, you know, gotten them more high profile, you know, that they were going to get a shot anyway. But I thought, you know, we've had a few guys that absolutely has. So Senior Bowl is where the first through the fourth round guys typically go. We had a third rounder last year. We had, I think, 13 or 14 draft picks total last year, hoping to have around 20 this year. But yeah, so it hasn't been bad. I think we need all-star games. The NFLPA does a really good job with it. And that's not the company line, I promise you. It's, in fact, I would say, you guys come out to L.A. next year and come watch the game, man. It's in the United States in January. And this, seriously, you can look this up. Unless you're in Southern Texas, and even then that might not be, but Southern California is the best weather of anywhere in the United States in January. Florida is usually rainy and cool, and it's cold everywhere else. So we play our game in right outside of Los Angeles. It's 75 degrees and sunny every day, so you can't beat that.
We might take you up on that.
Yeah, no, you can't beat that in the middle of January. Well, so I don't know what the weather's like in Australia at that point, but
it's boiling hot down here, like crazy. We do our temperature in degrees Celsius, so I don't even know what it would be in Fahrenheit, but it is like, you know, middle of summer, scorching hot. Like, you need to stay inside or in a swimming pool, or you're gonna melt.
Okay. Yeah, come up here, man. It's a lot cooler. It's warm and the sun, and it's warm enough to go swimming, but not so warm you'll get a heat stroke. So.
Yeah, sweet. I'll just run you through. This is how much effort you put into things. I asked for your small school sort of big board, and you sent me a list of a top 300, but you also mentioned you have a top 800, which is astonishing. That's a lot of players that – like, that's not even including players that everyone knows about, you know, the Marcus Mariotas and the Jameis Winstons. This is the first player on your board is Jarquiski Tutt from Samford, the safety, and you've penciled him in. You think he may go in the third round?
Yeah, I mean, and depending on what he does at his pro day, which I believe is coming up next week, he might play his way into the second round.
Yeah, the safety class is very, very weak, so he's probably got the right time to step up, but he's an exciting player, a very good tackler. Do you want to fill us in a little bit about what made him, you know, the player at the top of your board?
Yeah, and it depends on who you talk to, because I think there's some people in the league that would tell you he's probably the second best small school player. Some will tell you he's the best. One of the things to take note on him, and you know, this is why I don't have him in the second round right now, is he last 2 years, he's been playing with little minor injuries. He went to the Senior Bowl. He was nicked up a little bit. He went to the – well, he got nicked up during the practices at the Senior Bowl. He was fully healthy. His senior year, he was healthy for the most part, but his junior year, he played hurt a good bit. And, you know, three-time All-American, three-time first-team All-Conference. Not a center fielder, ball hawk type of guy. More of a come down in the box, lay the wood, hit you. Good tackler. Great range. He's big. He's fast. You know, he's 6'1" and a half, 220-plus pounds. He's going to run in the 4.5s, which is very, very good. Mm-hmm. He can play free safety or strong safety. So, you know, really good athlete, gives you that. He can play special teams. He's smart. He's tough. He will play through injury, you know, probably to a fault. I think he probably needs to go to the trainer more and sit out more than he does. But he loves the game. He's a warrior in that regard. You know, no character problems with him, no major medical flags, just the minor. He's had a couple of minor things, and, you know, he comes back. You know, I think part of his problem is instead of sitting out a week or two, he plays through it. So he plays hurt for 6 weeks instead of playing for one or two. You know, he's just real tough. He's a great competitor, and one of those guys that, I mean, he can drop back and pick off a pass. I mean, he doesn't have awful ball skills. That's not what they asked him to do at Sanford. So you don't really see it as much. But what they ask him to do, he does a very good job.
Yeah, that's awesome. You said that some have him at the top of his big board, of their big boards for the small school, and then others have him second. I'd imagine the name at the top of the list for others would be David Johnson from Northern Iowa, who he's one of my favorite players in the draft. I'm a Colts fan, and I'm really hoping that they can get a good value for this guy. I I like his pass catching ability. Creates mismatches for the linebackers. And he's such a tall, lanky guy, sort of Matt Forte type height. But then he has the catching skills, I think, of like Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, no, a great pass catcher. Some people think he's better at that than he is as a runner. And he is he's big. He's very big. He's almost 6'1". He's 225 pounds, just about. His big issue is he likes to run high a little bit. And he's gotten dinged up some because of that. And there's some games, you know, when I talked to scouts during the fall, you know, I tried to see 3 or 4 or 5, 6 games on this guy. I think I saw 5 or 6 games on this guy, but scouts are required to write 3 games. So you may, he was a, for a lot of teams, he was a 3-look player, meaning someone went in early in the fall, someone went in midseason, and someone went in to go see him late in the year. And depending on when you went in to see him, you may have given him a priority free agent or late round grade, or you may have given him a second round grade, because the problem with him was one week he'd run for 190 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the next week he'd have 62 yards and no touchdowns, or one touchdown, and if that. But I think some of that, a lot of people have been really, you know, targeting him, so to speak. I mean, his first year at Northern Iowa, he was all conference. He was all conference his second, third. I mean, all 4 years he's been there. I mean, he ran for insane amount of yards. I think 822 yards as a freshman, over 1,000 as a sophomore, then almost 1,300 as a junior, and then over 1,500 as a senior. And he's been a guy, you know, he's taken a lot of pounding, and he's played a lot. So, he's one of those guys that he's got the freakish athletic ability. He showed it in the Senior Bowl. He can run over you, run around you, bounce it outside. You know, he can make you miss. He's got great hands. He's smooth in open field. He's a guy that some people have really, really high grades on him. Some people got lower grades a little bit. I gave him, you know, really a third to fourth round grade, but I think he's going to go in the third, maybe even the late second, just because it's hard to find guys that are going to run. You know, I got verified handheld times on him in the 4.46 to 4.50 range at the combine. The combine releases electronic times. NFL teams use their own handheld times, and handheld times I was given from 4 or 5 scouts was all 4.46 to 4.50 range, and that's very hard to find for a guy that big.
And he can return kickoffs as well, which is also
very good returner. Yeah, great athlete. He would have been an all conference kick returner if the focus wasn't on him at running back. A lot of times coaches don't want to name the same player to 3 different spots on a team. He could have been probably second team all conference as a receiver, first team as a running back, and first team as a kick returner if the coaches really wanted to give him his entire dues. So that just shows you what type of player he is.
Yeah, very jack of all trades style running back. Number 3 on your rankings is another guy that I really, really like, and that's Charles Tull, or most people call him Davis Tull, outside linebacker from Tennessee Chattanooga. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Chattanooga.
Yeah. Fill us in about him. I've only seen one tape, which is a little bit frustrating on Draft Breakdown. I can't get my hands on anything else, but from what I saw, he had a high motor, and I really like that about him.
You got to pull up the Dub Center or pull up their huddle and their Dragonfly and all that, man. Come on, you got to get off those TV copies.
I know.
I saw him. You know, it's funny, in his career, I've probably seen him 15 times. I've seen him in person twice. He's interesting because he's not extremely low. Now, I would not be surprised if my next ratings he falls a little bit. Nothing that's his fault. But, you know, if he doesn't work out between now and the combine, I've told people in the past that you can bank on this. Small school players, when they're hurt in the postseason, fall on draft day. Some, you know, if you're a 5th to 7th round guy, you're probably not going to get drafted. If you're a 2nd or 3rd round guy, you're probably going to go in like the 5th round. So he's had an injured hamstring. He's putting up good test numbers, even with that, which shows that he probably is a 3rd round pick. My only thing on him is he doesn't have great length. And the fact that he's had that nagging hamstring injury, I worry about that. So I would imagine he probably goes in the fourth or fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but his freakish test numbers are why he would even go that high, because most players in his regard, because I kind of viewed him, you know, during the regular season as more of a six-round guy.
Okay.
So I think that his postseason's kind of helped him. Some teams had him a lot higher, you know, but during the season. But my only concern is he plays defensive end for them, but they do stand him up a good bit. He doesn't have great length, but he's got some twitch to him a little bit. Not extremely twitchy, but a little bit. But he's very explosive, very fast. He can close well, uses his hands very well. He's consistent. He's a high motor guy. He chases plays backside. He can drop back into coverage. I think he's athletic enough to be an outside linebacker. I think he'd probably be a 4-3 outside backer. I'm thinking with him, you got a guy that hits 26 reps on the bench. He could probably be a Sam linebacker. I think he could probably cover tight ends a little bit. The only worry there is the length, which may put him at will. It just depends on what a coach prefers to do. Some coaches will be fine putting him at Sam. Some will prefer him at will. But you know, he's very, very, very good player. He's a high motor. He's just like David Johnson. He's more decorated than a birthday cake. I mean, than a wedding cake. You know, I would say that he's more decorated than a wedding cake. He's been all conference his entire career. So he's definitely a guy that that I think can. You know, I mean, it's tough to find players like him that do it year in, year out, and he certainly has. So I do expect that he will. He'll you know, be off the board by the fifth round. He still may go in the third, but I just think that hamstring may hold him back a little bit on draft day.
You think maybe his success might come a little bit later on in his NFL career? It might take a little.
I think it could come early. I mean, I think he could be a special teams player right off the bat, because he is a very good athlete. He's highly explosive.
Yep.
He's going to run fast, and you put him on kickoff, punt, all that stuff. So I think he could in that regard. You know, like I said, I just wish he was a lot longer. He's only got 31-inch arms. I wish, you know, if he was 32 and a half, something like that, we'd be cooking with something. I mean, we'd be cooking with a second-round pick. No, if he was fully healthy and had 32 and a half-inch arms, we'd probably be talking second round.
We need to go and stretch him out a little bit.
Possibly, yeah. So that's his only issue. You see, you know, he's almost 6'2 and a half, 244 pounds. He ran verified high 4.5s on a bad hamstring. So you know, he's fast. I mean, he ran like 4.59 or 4.61, something like that, 4.58 at his junior pro day. So he's very fast, man, and he's very high motor guy too. You'll see the speed. He'll chase plays down backside, and he doesn't give up very easy.
Yeah, that's good. The next player on your list is a guy that's getting a lot of airtime on the national stage, and that's Ali Marpe. He was on my must-watch prospects at the Combine, and he did not disappoint at the Combine. Had a very good showing there, and a lot of people are getting very excited about the guy from Hobart and William Smith.
Yeah, I'll tell you a good story on him if you want to hear some.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give you some insight on him. He was it was interesting how he got found, because last year every December scouts start contacting the schools. See, you know, who are your prospects? They start looking at production. Who's got good production? You know, who's got size? They start looking around. They start saying, okay, well, these are the schools we need to go to. These are the schools that say they have guys. Well, he had a player on his team that was undersized. He plays on the defensive side. So you talk to Hobart, and the first person you ask about was not Ali Marpet, because he's got a teammate that's been an All-American. At the time, he was a three-time All-American. You know, he's more decorated than a wedding cake, even more so than all these other guys. I mean, his name's Tyree Coleman. You can look him up. He's Conference Defensive Player of the Year for three straight years, AFCA All-American three straight years, First Team All-Conference for four straight years. He got some All-American mention as a freshman. He was the Freshman of the Year in that league. I mean, you know, his career numbers blow anything out of the water. You'll probably see it at almost any level. And then, the coach are saying, hey, this is a really good player. You're going to like Coleman, but I tell you what, we got another one too. So they start telling you, well, they got an offensive lineman, and you're thinking, well, an offensive lineman from Division III, whatever. Back in the spring last year, scouts were kind of high on him. In fact, a lot of the guys I talked to had a higher grade on him than I did. He's on our radar. I actually go into Syracuse in the fall, which, if you know anything about the geography, Syracuse is in New York, and so is Hobart. Hobart's in Geneva, New York, which is roughly an hour or so away from Syracuse. So I had to go into Syracuse that morning. I was not scheduled to go in Hobart, but I wanted to go in Hobart because I said, you know what? So I left Syracuse a little bit early. I left a Division I school a little bit early that day to sneak down to Hobart, the D3 school, to get the film and to talk to the coaching staff on the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. Well, Marpet, I don't like watching D3 players too much early in their season. I like to wait and let them get into their, especially if they're going to the playoffs, let them get into the best teams they're playing. You know, you knew he was a pretty good athlete. The 40 times, still surprised because I thought he was probably a 5'1", 5 guy on tape. Didn't know he was going to run 4.98. He was a guy that, going there, drive down there. Unfortunately, I don't miss my flight. I get to my flight plenty of time. So I go back. I waited to watch film on him until I got home because I snuck down there, which is something I don't ever sneak. I don't ever try to slip down to Division III school and leave an FBS school. You just don't do that. So I did that, though, and went down there and turned out to be worth it. You come back, you watch him. I thought he got better as it went. We'll say on him, he doesn't have great flexion. He does not bend as well as I would like, but he bends well enough. He's very athletic, has great feet. He can move around. He's extremely smart. He could play left tackle athletically. He just doesn't have the length to play left tackle. That's the only issue with him. I think that, with him, 6'4", 307, handheld times were in the 4.96 to 5.07 range. He's got long enough arms to play left tackle. He's got 33 3/8-inch arms, but his wingspan was only 80 1/8. I'd like him to be 82 plus to be a definite left tackle at that height at 6'4". But I tell you what, he's very athletic. He can get out and pull. He's nasty. He'll finish blocks. Just a little bit raw. Needs to work on his technique. But, he was a guy 2012, 2013, 2014, first team All-Conference. He was the co-offensive player of the year in his conference this past year, which is unheard of for an offensive lineman. So that just shows you how dominant he was. But very good athlete, very smart, can do a lot of interesting background, has a basketball background. So he's got the athleticism. He's a guy that might go in the second or third. Most teams have him graded in around the fifth round range, though. I think the combine boosted him, and I think what's going to happen is if you want him, you're going to have to take him in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, you're going to have to take
him in the third if you want him. Most people value him based on his tape. A little bit later, but now he went to the Senior Bowl and I think boosted that too.
They've got him listed as a center though. So
yeah, I did, and I've kicked him over to guard. When I update and send post pro day ratings, I'm gonna project him to guard. I think he can play center though. Now a lot of people are very hesitant to project that type of thing, just because you got to get used to the snaps, but. He's not going to start right as a rookie, I wouldn't expect. So, and that's why I wouldn't take him until the fourth or fifth round. I love him, nothing wrong with that. But, I think his athleticism, he went to the Senior Bowl and surprised people. I'd like to see him be on the bench as a rookie just so he could learn guard and center. Second year, I would plan to start him. Just to give them time, just so there's no way that you put a Division III player out. Worst thing you can do is put a Division III player learning a position he hasn't had to play in college on the field as a rookie on day one. He gets his rear end beat, and everybody's going to laugh at the franchise because they're going to say, well, Lord, he's a D3 guy. If you're going to take a D3 guy, he better be lights out. If he's not, people are going to wonder why he's there. So if he's not – you know, if he's not ready when he gets on the field, people are going to criticize his team. So
you don't want Gerald McCoy running over the top of him first.
No, you don't. So, and I'm not saying that would happen. Athletically, he's as good as anything you'll find in the NFL. I mean, he's a freak athlete. You know, you'd like to see him. You know, you, a lot of rookies get it handed to them. Heisman Trophy winners get in that league and are out of that league in 3 years. So
that's right.
It's nothing against him. So it's you know, but really good athlete, and he can athletically he can play any position, and intelligence wise. His smarts, he could play any line position. He could pick it up. That's why I have no problem. A lot of people say, well, he can't be a center. He's never done that. I have no problem with that. He can. I don't think he would be as good at center as he would guard, but I think he can play anywhere on the line if you need him to. Mm-hmm. I think he's primary guard, but he's a quality, you know, backup as a center or a tackle.
That's all right. One last player to round out your top five. I'm not too aware of him, but I have some friends that have talked about him and have mentioned him and Brandon LaFell in the same sentence. I don't know where they got that comparison from, but you might be able to fill us in. Trey McBride from William and Mary.
Yeah, no, Trey McBride's an interesting one. Trey McBride is a better athlete. He's very twitchy. He's a freakier athlete than the production would suggest. Now, he's been good at William & Mary, so don't get me wrong. He's been all-conference, I think, 3 or 4 years there. You know, he's a guy that should have 1,500 yards. Their offense, however, does not designate that now because does not allow for that because of the way they spread the ball around and the fact that they're always going to have a 1,000-yard rusher, or usually do. The deal with him, he's 6 foot plus, 210. He's going to run, you know, sub 4.4s, handhelds at the combine, or 4.39 to 4.43 range. You know, he's very good hands. He can jump over people. He had very good tape against West Virginia. I think two or three times against FBS competition, D1 level above. He played very, very well when he played them. Got very good hands. He's a very, very good return man. Didn't really do it as much as a senior, but don't be fooled on that. He can do it. He did do it, just not at the same extent. He wasn't the he was a special teams player of the year as a junior. As a senior, he was not. And he wasn't really throwing a lot of deep balls, a lot of possession grabs, a lot of, you know, 10 to 15 yard routes where, you know, he goes up and just, you know, because he's got very good hands to go catch the ball. Surprisingly, his hands are not extremely big. He's only got 9-inch hands, which would surprise you. You would think that he's got 10-inch hands, but he catches the ball very well. He's smooth. He's athletic. Very fast, got good long speed. Now, he times a little faster than he plays, but he still plays fast. He gets the ball in the open field, and he's gone. Very good possession guy. You know, if he were a little more productive in 6'2", you know, he might go in the second or third round. I think he's probably going to go in the fourth or the fifth.
Do you find that wide receivers in these, like, they're freak athletes, but they're sort of hamstrung by the teams that they play for, that you find that a lot of wide receivers like this sometimes they sort of go unnoticed in draft, or not unnoticed, but they go later in drafts and you get real value. John Brown sort of comes to mind for me. From last year, do you see any wide receivers in this class that you think might be a free agent pickup or a 6th-7th rounder that actually might surprise people and be productive in the right scheme or system?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be. I think one of the reasons for that was because I think these 7-on-7 that we have going on at the high school level is creating a ton of receivers. Everybody wants to catch touchdowns. So I think that's one of the things creating a ton of receivers. One of the things in the NFL is, you know, don't get fooled. The fastest man at the combine, the fastest receiver is not necessarily going to be the best one, especially when they're used to mostly go routes all day long. That doesn't work in the National Football League because they're going to match up a 6'1 corner that runs a 4'4, you know, and is going to shut you down. Where you win in the NFL is route running in hands. You got to be able to get open. You got to be able to catch the ball. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of guys that would be like that. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Desmond Lewis of Central Arkansas, he's big, he can run, he's a guy that people value. I could see him being one of those. You know, I actually think that the kid at Texas A&M Commerce, Vernon Johnson, is better than people think he is. He should have been at the scouting combine. He would have run 4.4s. He's very fast. He's very, very twitchy. His tape is extremely good. He's the two-time receiver of the year in the Lone Star Conference. And if you know anything about that conference, they've had a lot of NFL talent go through it. So that tells you a little something about him. In fact, one of the receiver who was runner-up to that award in 2013 made an NFL roster this past year, the guy who he beat out. So it just shows you how good he is.
Who was that?
Torrence Allen from West Texas A&M. I think he was on the Chargers practice squad all year. He was on a roster, and Vernon Johnson beat him for the awards. That tells you something.
There you go.
There's a lot of those. I think you're going to have them more and more. Usually there's three small school receiver, usually four small school receivers each year get drafted. Three of the four are usually players who everybody figures well. The fourth one oftentimes is a surprise or 50-50 that people kind of guess who it is. But sometimes it'll be a name comes out of nowhere that lit up pro day. Weaver Marys, McBride, Lewis, and Vernon Johnson, I think, are the three for sure draftable guys. But anyway, I would put Lewis and Johnson in that group as well.
Cool.
Say that they would be potential guys that go in the fifth round or later and make a roster.
Before we finish up, I want to ask you about a guy that's sort of rising up draft boards quite quickly, and that's Deion Simon from Northwestern State in L.A. Is it?
Northwestern State, Louisiana.
Louisiana. Sorry, our American is states-wise isn't the best. But I've heard comparisons. I think Connor Orr mentioned him somewhere about talking him in the same sentence as Dontari Poe.
Very similar. Now, I will say this about Simon. Here's the deal on him. I actually had him in the draft coming into the season. The issue with Simon was he was weighing over 340 pounds. He comes in and gets hurt early in the year. Now, he was playing better this year. Not quite as good as I wanted to see, but he was playing better. I thought for sure he would be a draft pick, but he got hurt. When he got hurt, I wasn't sure people would invite him to the combine. I kind of thought what was going to happen with him, he wouldn't go to the combine, and he'd either light up his pro day and get drafted in like the fifth, sixth round, or he wouldn't light up his pro day. He'd come in overweight, and he would just fall into oblivion somewhere because he plays like Dontari Poe. There's times where he dominates. You can't move him. He can move a mountain. He's that strong. Then there's times when he does nothing. But he does a great job of eating blocks. He's flexible. He's got good flexion. When he does want to chase, he can run very well. I think he's a very interesting guy. He'd be a 3-4 nose, but he's powerful and he can eat blocks. And if you run a 3-4 and you need a block eater, he's ideal for it and he's very athletic. As long as he can keep that weight off, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, they weighed in at 320 pounds, so he seemed to have lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, he's lost over 20 since, which was good. When I first saw his weight before he even worked out, I said, oh, crap, he's good. In fact, right when he worked out, I moved him up into the – I moved him up to number 21 in the solid in the seventh round right when that happened.
Yeah.
So when I saw his weight, I knew he was going to test pretty well.
Yeah, he's done all right. And as you said, very strong 35 reps in the combine, which is pretty, pretty good.
He is bull strong now. You're not going to move him. I mean, he sometimes is like he's not even trying and nobody can push him. He's a brick wall. Literally, I mean, you can't move him. His tape against bigger schools, I mean, they can't move him. Double teams can't. People double team him all the time. They can't move him.
Yeah. All right, one last question before we wrap it up, and we really appreciate you coming on and sharing all your knowledge with us. It's fantastic. Is there a player on this list that we haven't talked about that you think will, you know, is a favorite of yours that will, you know, just to keep an eye on, just keep a sneaky eye on him?
There's actually a few, and the reason I say that is because it's hard when you ask for one and you only talk about like seven guys. That's real tough because yeah. I'll tell you, on average, you're going to have about 60 to 80 small school players every year make an NFL roster as rookies. Not saying they'll play for 5 years, but I'm talking about they'll make it as rookies. I tell you some guys, and I'm going to give you names that are not at the NFL Combine, mainly because if everybody at the Combine, everybody knows who they are. You know, that's easy. That the NFL's got them on the draft board. Those are gimmies. You know, people name Combine guys as sleepers. Those aren't sleepers. I'm going to give you some sleepers.
Here we go.
I'm going to give you some sleepers. He's not rated as high to media. I don't know. And now maybe this has changed since he played. And I'm not just saying this because he played in our All-Star game and because I pushed for him. There are teams that have these two particular players I'm going to give you rated higher than I do. I'll tell you where I have them rated, but there's teams that have them higher. They may not get drafted, but I don't care. They're going to make rosters. They're going to be like the kid we had from Newberry that was NFL preseason MVP. He made a 53-man. He made an impact with the Giants. These guys will make impacts on their teams regardless whether they're drafted or not.
Yep.
Number one is Antoine Everett, McNeese State offensive lineman. Go back and watch the McNeese State versus Nebraska game film. He was the left tackle, number 71. He's a mammoth of a man. He's just 6'2.5", but he's 330 pounds, and he is strong as hell. He dominated Nebraska. And Nebraska, by the way, had two all Big Ten defensive ends. He handled his side with ease. There was no production given up on his side of the field. He played lights out in that game. Very good player. Underrated. He should have been at the Combine. The other one who was not, and he was not in any All-Star game, and I don't understand why he was not. I pushed for him in ours. He should have been in at least one or two. Darius Allen, Colorado State Pueblo. Everybody talks about this quarterback at Pueblo. The quarterback will not get drafted. He will not make it in the NFL. Allen's got a very good shot, too. I want to see what he does at Pro Day because I don't know. But I got a feeling. I know he's a hard worker, and he's been snubbed by everybody. He's won the Gene Upshaw Award the last 2 years in Division II. He's more decorated than a wedding cake. You want to talk about decorated? He's a three-time All-Conference, two-time consensus, first-team All-American, both All-American as a defensive end and as a linebacker, mind you. They moved him from defensive end. He played defensive end as a junior, had 23.5 tackles for loss, 15.5 sacks. As a senior, he moves to outside linebacker. He has 23 tackles for loss, 15.5 sacks. So he changes positions and still does it. He's 6'2", 251 pounds. He runs sub-4.7 or better. He will get drafted and make it, but if he doesn't, that's fine. He's a high-motor guy. He's got some length to him. He's one to keep an eye on. One player that I've got him in the draft, I got him borderline, and I don't think he will get drafted. He should. And whether he does or not, he'll make a 53-man roster. He's a very good player. There's a center at Harvard, Nick Easton. Now, he's the biggest sleeper of anyone. Half the NFL teams didn't ride him, and I know that for a fact. Most of them didn't really ride him until he came to the NFLPA game. He's very athletic. I don't care what he runs in the 40. He can change direction. He can get out and pull. He's extremely smart. He's been all-conference at guard and center. He's a Harvard guy, so you know he can learn any position on the field. He has great character. He'll be a guy that he looks pudgy. You see him in person, you want to say he's a reject because he doesn't even look the part, but it doesn't matter. You turn on the film, he can play. Watch the NFLPA game. He did work in that game. He played his rear off. And I give you two guys that are really flying, or two more that are really flying on the radar, too. They either played in a low-level All-Star game or did play in a game, but there is some buzz on them, and depending on their pro day. There is a safety, Harold Jones Corti at Finley. He's 5'11", 212 pounds. He is already verified run in the 4.5s, which is extremely good. Now, 4.5 40, which is extremely good. He's a two-time all-conference selection. He's a former wide receiver. who moved to safety, who moved to strong safety, free safety. He's got good hands, got good ball skills. He had 3 picks and 9 breakups as a junior, only had 8 breakups as a senior, no picks, but teams threw away from him. Their team was not very good, and his production was roughly about the same. He had more tackles, but less pass breakups and all. So he didn't get quite as much love from those who dish out the awards. Keep an eye on him. Some teams have him in the draft. He may get drafted. I don't project that right now, but he may. You know, if you're really looking, because I always like to give names for people to just dig deep and kind of that are flying under the radar. There's a lineman at Tusculum College. He played in the Medal of Honor Bowl. He's very interesting. He was a guy that people kind of didn't really grade as a prospect as a junior. He wasn't all conference. He didn't really do much. He had 2 sacks as a junior and 44 tackles. As a senior, he had 89 tackles, 9 sacks, 19 tackles for loss, more than doubled his production at everything. He came out of nowhere. He's 6'5", 200, well, 6'4 and a half, 285 pounds. He's run in the 5'1s before, which is very good. Probably could be a 3'4 defensive end. He's not filled out enough, I don't think, to be a 3-technique D tackle, but he's athletic. He'll chase. He's a little bit stiff, but not too bad. He may get drafted. There's some teams that really like him. No one's talking about him. You'd be hard pressed to find more than maybe 2 draft websites that even have him listed, if at all.
What was his name?
It's Cashaud Lyons, Caushaud.
All right, cool.
Just he's big. You know, when you're getting into the NFL draft, I'll tell you a couple rules real quick, just to think about when you're looking for draft picks. Guys that go into late rounds, especially guys that don't go to the scouting combine, they run very well. They have very good vertical and broad jump numbers. They're big. He's big. He's 6'5", 285. That's huge for a defensive line. You know, 6'3 corner that can run a 4.3. You might be stiff and a bad player, but so don't draft you late because you got something to work with. A 6'8 tackle that can run a 5.1 in the 40 or better. You know, you'll see guys like that get drafted all the time. They're not very good players, but they get drafted because of that. People feel like they can work with it. That's why Gibby Lyons, he got better as the season went on. He was not very good until his senior year. He was awful his first couple of years. You could see why he didn't get any D1 offers. And then, you know, he plays at Division II Tusculum in Tennessee, blew it up this year. So he would be one. He may not even get drafted, but if he does, that would explain why there are some teams that have him in the draft. He would be an interesting one. And then I'll give one more just because he's stiff. He's a safety at Western Carolina, but he looks the part. He's ripped up, and he's extremely good on special teams. His special teams tape in the All-Star Game circuit was outstanding. There was the safety at Western Carolina, Ace Clark. He's going to run fast enough, and I think he's a little too stiff to get drafted, but I wouldn't be surprised if he made a roster. Everybody needs a great special teams player on the, you know, from the scout team, and I think he would be that. I think he could also be a core special teams player from day one and play all of that. So wouldn't be surprised if he was another one that snuck in. That's why I say, you know, linebackers, safeties, guys that can play special teams, keep an eye on those guys in the late rounds, especially ones that are receivers, same thing, athletes that can run and can tackle, whether they're great at their position or not. People are looking for freak athletes on special teams, and these guys all will test very well or should test very well. We'll see, but they should.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you very much. Obviously, if people haven't noticed, the passion that you have for these small school prospects and the amount of tape that you watch and you know, knowledge that you have, it's something to really respect. And you said right at the beginning that not many people know about you. Well, they should, because the amount of work that you do is astonishing. And thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the draft season. I know it's going to get a lot busier for you with all the pro days, but I know you love it, so you'll definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun. I'll go to a couple of pro days. I try not to go to too many just because it's hard to sift through all the information. Now I'm really in cross-check mode, just guys that I haven't seen as much on, you know, guys that blow up their pro days, trying to figure out this draft, trying to cut it up and project who's going to get drafted and all that, trying to trying to have somewhat of an accurate board. I tell people I just throw spitwads at the wall and I get lucky every now and then. So hopefully I get pretty lucky with them this time.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for your time, and we'll have to have you on again next year, and maybe we might join you in LA for one of those games in the nice warm weather of Southern California.
Yeah, come on out, man. Anytime, happy to do it.
Cheers, Joss. That was my interview with @JoshNFLDraft. As you can tell, very, very, very knowledgeable, very smart man. A lot. He just can talk about prospect after prospect after prospect. He can remember watching them, seeing tape. He's got an extensive memory. The passion is obvious. He's fantastic. So give him a follow @JoshNFLDraft. And, a relatively short episode for us in terms of our other ones. A few people have told us to sort of try and, make it a little bit smaller, but hey, when we talk about NFL, we get a little bit sidetracked and we can talk forever on it. So that wraps up the show. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @JoshNFLDraft. You can follow Josh on Twitter as well @JoshWoot. Follow the podcast @WootNY on Twitter. We're on Facebook, The Woot NY Show. So make sure you check us out. We actually have been on Deadspin. So, we're hitting the big time. Anyway, ciao.